Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Condolences to Cowboys fans. I guess the best I could say is there's always next year. that was a brutal game. 40-something to 9. Ouch. It's okay. My Broncos lost too, if it makes you feel any better. Thrilled to have you with us here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You can reach us through the studio line or by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Couple quick programming notes. Next week, we will be preempted again. We'll be on immediately after the Chiefs post-games show. But we have a great guest planned for you. Dinesh D'Souza will be with us next week. So we've got a great show planned for you. Don't also forget to listen to my carry-on commentaries. It's a 60-second daily feature that runs Monday through Friday, 3 times a day. Every day of the week, you'll hear those here on KNSS. So we got a great show planned next week. And, of course, tonight, Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears will be with us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour to talk about her campaign for governor, how Kamala Harris's big government message is playing in Virginia, and her upcoming visit to Kansas City. She'll be in Kansas City tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will join us to discuss the disappointing KCC decision to increase rates for Kansas gas customers. And we'll talk with Keenan Smith, a Republican candidate for Kansas Senate District 25, and Jeff Jarman, a Democrat who's running for election to the Kansas State Board of Education to represent District 10. I think that's actually my district. It represents me. So I'll have some questions for her. I love it when we have Democrats on the show. Always fun. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. You may have missed it, but last Thursday was 1010 XX. And it's also known as Real Women's Day. I don't know if you noticed that, but my dear friend Riley Gaines is trying to make that into a for lack of a better term, a day that we recognize as Real Women's Day. The day came about because Riley was tired of seeing Women's History Month, which comes up in March, being co-opted to honor transgender trailblazers like Rachel Levine and Leah Thomas. Both are biological males pretending to be gals. And she wasn't the only one, by the way. There's lots of women who are trying to get a little tired of having women being co-opted by men. A host of high-profile women, including Republican lawmakers, conservative leaders, and single-sex sports advocates, have joined Riley in declaring that last Thursday, 10-10, was the first ever Real Women's Day, an occasion to honor the achievements of real women and recognize the intrinsic value that only they can provide. So last Thursday, 10-10-XX, we celebrated Real Women's Day. You know, real women, the kind that can give birth and be actually breastfeed and menstruate and lack a Y chromosome. You know, those things that actually define what a woman is, which apparently there are some, well, I don't know, Supreme Court justices that are incapable of doing that. The only kind of women, you know, real women, hence the name of the day. Women are not, for the record, menstruators. They're not bleeders. They're not chest feeders. They're not cervix havers. They're not uterus owners or egg producers or people with birthing capacity. They are biological females. It's very simple. You got an XX, you're a woman. You got an XY, you're a man. If you don't, you know, it's pretty, there's only two genders. I don't care how you want to mix it. There are only two genders. This is not it's a binary choice. Notice that word binary is in there for a reason. Women are just women. Adult human females. Some will say this is divisive or controversial, but they're wrong. It's not controversial to recognize the inherent differences between men and women, especially in areas like competitive sports. We need to say enough is enough. Women are frankly being erased, so it's time that their voices are heard on this issue. It's time we stop pandering to a fringe but very loud minority on the left who spent 2 years, by the way, demanding we trust the science, but now expect the world to deny the science when it comes to this issue. The hypocrisy here is laughable. Today, males are claiming women's identity, their sports, and their spaces. Men and boys are stealing opportunities, medals, trophies, and, frankly, women's future. It's not fair or just. In fact, it's awfully dangerous, frankly. And yet many in positions of power and influence refuse to use their platforms to stand up to this nonsense. I will not be one of those. I will always use this platform to advocate on behalf of women and girls sports and the need to save women and girls sports. It's not transphobic. It's not bigoted. It's not hard to stand up for women and girls. It's frankly pathetic that more Americans won't do it. This is one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest injustices we've allowed to happen to this country. Our daughters, nieces, girlfriends, and wives had something to prove. They've done it. They earned the right to compete in their own world, and now some on the left are trying to take that away from them. A competitively equal playing field to showcase the talents God gave them is something they earned. And who are a bunch of leftist nanny pickers to take that away from them? We are telling them that it isn't enough, that being what they are and who they are isn't enough. We are telling them that they aren't good enough. We are forcing them to compete against their genetically superior counterparts just to have what used to belong to them. And that's just frankly wrong. It's wrong, and it has to stop. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will join us to discuss the disappointing KCC decision to increase rates for Kansas Gas Service customers. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. If you're interested, it's a great opportunity, great way to get involved. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Kansas Corporation Commission announced a decision last week to raise rates for Kansas Gas Service rates on Kansas Gas customers. The decision has come under criticism considering Kansans are already facing a cost of living crisis under the Biden-Harris administration. With us now to explain how this decision may impact you is Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me. And, I'm actually supposed to be talking right now to also the House Energy Chairman, Representative Delperding. And he told me that you are interrupting our meeting. No, I'm kidding.
Well, actually, he texted me earlier and said that he was going to be listening. So you can kind of do both.
Oh, good. He told me, he's like, give John a hard time. So I had to.
It's Leo. I mean, I love him. You got to love Leo. Well, so he would know this question. We could call him. How will this rate increase impact Kansans, Elizabeth?
Yeah, so basically it's going to impact everyone's gas bill by about 6 or 7% every month. So you're going to see an increase. Everyone's going to see an increase. And they called that their unanimous compromise. It was going to be closer to 10 or 11%, but we don't think any of it really should have happened in the first place. The KCC should not have allowed that to happen. And I would love to dig into this a little bit. Largely, we had tons of people sign up and sign our petitions, but also directly to the KCC to say that they didn't want a rate increase at this time. And this rate increase is largely going to profits and to a guaranteed return on investment for Kansas Gas by 10.2% and a lot of other things that honestly don't make sense when you have the situation in Kansas. I don't begrudge any businesses profits, don't get me wrong, but when you are a utility monopoly in the state, it's just not the same thing. And this essentially amounts to a tax increase on ratepayers by about 6 or 7% every month.
Well, so you mentioned that issue about profit, and what was the case that Kansas Gas Service used to justify the rate increase? Was there any logical? Could they come up with, hey, we've had X, or our costs are Y, or was this really just about guaranteeing that they were profitable?
This is guaranteeing they're profitable. So when we submitted our public comments, a few of the points, there were lots of points, but some of the highlighted points that we made were that this allows for 50% based, 50% of it is based in, my understanding is, executive and officer incentive compensation. And that's going to be included in the cost of our services. And also that return of equity of 10.25%, along with a bunch of other things with performance-based rate making and some nitty-gritty there, that at the end of the day is for profits, raising rates on gas customers. And it's just, as you pointed out in the opener for the show, under the Biden-Harris administration, we have seen energy costs rise, and we've seen even here in Kansas with electricity rates all over the place, and now we've got gas rates raising. Like, when does it stop? We have some of the, still, even with the package that was passed, we still have high taxes and there's more work to be done. Kansans don't need another rate increase right now. The KCC never should have let this go through. It wasn't justified.
And I think, you know, we were all sympathetic with that rate spike a couple of years ago when the winter was so bad.
Sure.
But this isn't about, I remember when they had these public hearings, people were outraged when they, even I remember John Carmichael, who's, you know, my opposite. He's my reverse copy. He's so far to the left, he's coming around the other side. But even he was vocally opposing this because he couldn't understand why, for example, those executive pay compensation packages were included in this. If this was all about recouping your cost to buy gas, that's one thing. But why are they getting away with including their compensation package and their benefits in there?
They shouldn't be. And so basically, Kansas consumers, Kansas ratepayers, everyone who pays a gas bill is bearing the brunt of these corporate decisions, and they have no choice. There's no other option for them, really. If they're a Kansas Gas customer, there's no market here. And honestly, like, to benefit, this is a permanent benefit to Kansas Gas's own financial interest with little regard to no regard, in my view, to ratepayers, which is sad. And this is the wrong decision. The KCC never should have let this through. And it goes on to me continuing to beat the drum over the years that we need more accountability and transparency at the Corporation Commission, and we need to re-understand and remake and reform some of this rate-making process, because we're guaranteeing profits of 10.25%, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal, especially if you're guaranteed. We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. I wanted to ask you one thing. I know I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break, but I saw in the it's coming out a little bit more as Harris and Waltz are starting to roll out some of their plans. She's finally rolled out a sort of economic policy. I mean, she's doing this American whatever she's calling it. But one of the things that Harris and Democrats are planning is eliminating the Tax Cuts and Job Acts. It's going to expire next year. It will cause the average Kansas family's federal bill to rise by $2,228 in income tax rate hikes. Will account for $1,300 of that. And this is by design. So Kamala Harris is saying, I'm going to cut taxes for anybody making less than $400,000. But if she lets this expire, everyone's income taxes go up by $1,300, correct?
Correct. Right. It's a lie. If the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires, she is raising taxes on everybody. And you said it right. The average Kansas family's federal bill goes up $2,228. Like that is the average Kansas family's bill. And that is not, that's not a tax cut last night, Chip.
No. No. Well, and I don't know if you saw it, but in today's Wichita Eagle, Dan Murray from the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, had a great op-ed. And he talked about another element of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is the 20% tax cut that's in there for small business owners. Right. And what was put in there was allowing small businesses to write off, reduce their taxable business income by 20%. It's called the small business deduction. That goes away as well. And we both know what will happen if basically a 20% tax increase on small businesses, that's going to get passed on to consumers. That means layoffs. In this economy, I own a small business. We can't afford a 20% tax increase.
Right. Absolutely. And what we're estimating is you look at the different types of businesses in Kansas and to your point, how they would be impacted by this and they all would. But even on small businesses, we're estimating that the expiration of that could cost Kansas over almost 7,000 jobs. That's a lot of jobs. And you exactly right. These small businesses that then have to look at, OK, well, do I need to cut payroll because this is affecting my bottom line. I mean, it has that impact. And what we saw when Tax Cut and Jobs Act first went to effect, we saw the opposite, which was great. We saw higher wages for workers. We saw more jobs come through. We saw better benefits. We saw good things. We saw more take-home pay for all kinds up and down the economy and more businesses being able to be more profitable and pass that right down to their workers and onto the consumers. And we will have in the middle of inflation, the opposite effect, and we'll just suck some of that right out of the economy, which is a travesty and shouldn't be done.
Well, Elizabeth, I don't know about you, but I will take mean tweets and a Trump economy over what Harris and Walz have planned any day of the week. The last thing Americans can afford right now is higher taxes. I know I want to let you go, but coming up, I just want to make sure folks understand my wife and I were out yesterday knocking. You guys are between now and November 5th. By the way, it's November 6th for Democrats. You guys vote on Wednesdays. Don't forget. But between now and November 5th, that was a joke. I have to put that out there because I have had complaints when I've made that comment in the past. But the you guys are doing National Days of Action every Saturday between now and the election. You're out there door knocking. If folks want to get involved, what's the best way for them to help, to get out there to door knock, to help on some of these races?
Absolutely. Reach out to us on our website at AmericansForProsperity.org and go to the Kansas page and sign up to volunteer, or reach out to us on social media on X at AFPKS or on Facebook and send us a message, or Instagram. We are all of those places, and let us know you want to help and we'll plug you in. But we are all over the state in some key battleground. You know, it's us versus the ACLU and the far left fighting for our state in Kansas, and it matters, and we could use all the help we can get. And you mentioned our Days of Action for AFP Action on Thursdays. I'll tell you, the Wisconsin race has tightened, and we have a chance to take that over. So every single opportunity to have a conversation with a voter matters. So if you want to get involved, reach out. We'll get you connected, and we'll get you plugged in, and we'll get you a walkbook.
That's another one what I mentioned at the top of this segment, is where folks can take those opportunities to phone call into those key races. You don't have to do anything, right? They don't have to go into your office. They can do it from home on an app. It doesn't cost anything, and it's a great way for them to get involved and help out in these really important races, because control of the House and Senate are very important this year.
we have to stop one party progressive rule in the worst case scenario. And we have, you're absolutely right. We have to do everything we can to make the House and the Senate effective and get some policy champions in there who can, you know, make sure we don't stop the tax cut. We don't repeal the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Yes. By the way, my next guest, Keenan Smith, is in studio here, and he said to make sure I said hello to you. So,
oh, yes. Awesome. Hello.
Elizabeth, thank you. As always, we appreciate you. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Have a good night.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our 2024 election candidate profiles with Keenan Smith, Republican candidate for Kansas State Senate, District 25. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you ever miss a part of a show, we've got you covered. We post clips from all of our shows. We also post single hours and the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates. By the way, Phil, I'm noticing the music here, the Halloween theme, nicely done, by the way. Keeping
it. I just do what I can.
Yeah, I know. You're doing a good job of it. Every election cycle, we try and bring you as many candidates as we can. If there's a candidate in particular that you'd like to hear from, reach out. Let me know. We'll ask. Some won't come on, but we will make the ask for you, and we'll try and invite them on the show. That being said, joining us now is Keenan Smith. He is a candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. The seat is currently held by Liberal Democrat Mary Ware. Keenan, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, thank you so much for having me, man.
It's a pleasure.
It's been one of the biggest experiences in my life to run for Kansas State Senate.
I've been there. In fact, that usually my first question is why? Why would you want to subject yourself to this? Because it's not easy. It's tough on your family. It's tough on you. And the attacks, if they haven't started already, they're gonna.
Oh, of course.
But why did you decide to run?
The compassion that I have just throughout my district, seeing the devastation that liberals have imposed on the constituents in my district, the lies, the consistent lies that everybody have going throughout Wichita and also in the state as well. I've had the pleasure of sitting amongst many liberals during my public service duties, sitting on boards and doing different things like that, and watching the initiatives of the Democratic Party. When people didn't know I was a Republican, right? They kind of was like, champion Keenan. When they found out I was a Republican and I knew the truth, right? And I had to be in a reality for a moment, and I had to take a minute and say one prayer. God, what would you like me to do? God said, hey, listen, if you don't get on this ballot in 2024, you're not mine. The things that are happening right now throughout our state, the way we're watching the Democrats, right? The way they've imposed certain things and changed language and changed the mindsets of people here throughout our district, right? It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting. You speak a lot like Patrick Penn, who I think the two of you seem to have a lot of similar philosophies. And I've talked to Pat a lot. Another friend of mine, Willie Dove, who's also an African-American legislator. Willie, I call him the Reverend Dove. He and I served together in the legislature.
Amen.
And I love Willie. Mm-hmm. But Willie, one of the things that he used to tell me a lot was how frustrated it would make him, like what you said, how Democrats would get mad at him, say he's not a real Republican. I think about the way Marvin Robinson was just treated by his Democrat colleagues.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, and how he was treated because of he voted his conscience. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious, two things. First off, how has that been? I mean, do they look at you as a quote-unquote a traitor? And the other question is, I don't know if you saw how Barack Obama just spoke to an African-American audience. Mm-hmm. But my reaction, and again, I'm outside of the community, but it seemed to me like it was very much, I'm telling you how to vote. It almost seemed like they just assume, okay, it's every 4 years you got to vote for us again, and then they ignore you for 4 years. Mm-hmm.
So I look at this like this. You know, generationally, I went through my standard time of getting knowledge. I mean, getting knowledge and understanding what liberation really meant for the black culture here in the state of Kansas and also throughout America. I was actually the state director for Blexit, which is the outreach and also the knowledge portion of understanding American liberation. Right. I led the state in it. Guess who actually championed me in getting out and creating outreach in those things? Black Republicans, right? They actually championed me, sent me to Washington, D.C., sent me to Washington State, led me actually speak in front of crowds and actually making sure that we can understand different outreach moments here throughout Kansas. How I feel about it, I don't care how I feel. I have three black children here in the state of Kansas, and I want to set the standard for what we really supposed to stand, what we're really supposed to stand for. Here's the thing. When I see Patrick Penn advocating as a father, I see him fighting a good fight, right? I see him not crying, but also taking the bullets. I see him and his wife side by side taking the bullets.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
I see them. And whoever I do marry, because I do plan on getting married very soon. I haven't picked yet. I'm sorry about that. But here's the thing, right? I hope she has the same heart as Talia Penn. I sit there and I watch many people, right, throw stones. I watch it. I've been watching this for 6 years. I've seen these two people do amazing job with raising their children. I've seen a great job with them actually making sure that, you know, my path and other people's path before me, right, is actually spoken for. Most of the time, we've seen the black community actually be the people throwing the stones, but also they've never been the people that actually champion initiatives. But guess who did? Black Republicans. When it comes down to it, I'm not going to take the same approach as he does. You know, Patrick is a very well-known family man, conservative, patriot, right? Keenan's going to be a fire starter. I will set fire to every lie that they have here in the state of Kansas. I don't care. I'm young. I'm radical. I'm crazy. Let's do it.
Having been a bit of a bomb thrower myself, I can appreciate that. Trust me. So I know you've been outdoor knocking. I know you're doing the work that's necessary. What's the biggest issue facing voters in your district when you're outdoor knocking? What are you hearing from folks in the 25th?
Fire in Mary Ware.
Well, and, you know, Mary Ware is an interesting one because I'm somewhat familiar with her. And, you know, first thing I do when I have guests like you on is I look at their opponent.
Yes.
And, you know, she claims to be a pragmatist.
Lie.
But then, well, of course, because if you look even at her own bio, she describes herself as a, quote, social justice activist.
Lie.
She advocates gun control. She's very pro-abortion, opposes, you know, even things like the local bans on single-use plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
So she's radical positions, and yet she claims to be pragmatic.
Here's the thing. You're problematic. Here's the truth, right? When I walk up to a door, I back up from a door, I see a mother, probably a single mother that lives in apartments off Harry. There's a young man that's on my campaign. He does a great job. He's one child out of eight children. Me sitting down talking to that single mother, right? And you know what the one problem she says she has? She says she has a safety problem with her children, right? It's not child care. It's not what is going to go on, right? It's a violence problem, right? If we don't advocate for the changes in our community with public safety, we're going to have a major problem later on. Right now, my opponent is saying, hey, let's expand Medicaid, right?
Yeah, that's not going to help with public safety.
Right. But you had nothing to say. When I sat there and watched my opponent, right, say, let's expand on a program that does not even work for other states, but we can deliver with $7 billion in economic dollar here in Kansas. I said, well, I just want to ask you, where have you been in reality? On the south end of my district, you know what they tell me? We've never heard of her. We just see her signs. We've never heard of this person. Thank you for coming to my door as a politician. Thank you for actually fighting for my children. I take my 2-year-old door knocking with me. My 9-year-old son door knocks with me. And you know what they say? Hey, listen, I'm surprised a black man that's a Republican is actually knocking doors. I thought you had all types of money. I said, ma'am, you know what? I actually take on more of the antagonist role throughout this entire campaign to deliver for you. I'm your better choice. Can you please vote for me? You know what they say? Yes.
Well, and that's what I think it's going to take. Especially, we have to broaden It's one of the things that I think the Republican Party hasn't done a good enough job at is broadening our appeal to a broader base without compromising our principles. That's the key.
No. Let's say it for what it is. Come on, John. Say it for what it is. Let's hold ourselves accountable here. We're Republicans. Did we actually do a better job at how we actually create outreach programs here in Sedgwick County for black people?
Not enough, I don't think. No.
We haven't.
No. I think it depends on the leadership at the party level. And I think
I agree.
I'm not making any announcements tonight.
Okay.
But I will tell you that there is going to be a slate that will step forward that I think will do an excellent job of trying to be more proactive in reaching out to groups like Sedgwick County Black Republicans, like the Kansas Black Republicans, that is trying to be more. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have, well, look at the state party. Look at the way Mike Brown tried to, you know, kick the Black Republicans and the Hispanic Republicans and the college Republicans out of the executive committee leadership at the party level. You can't do that kind of nonsense and still be a big tent party.
Right.
But without compromising your principles.
I understand what the principles and values are as a Republican right now, right? Here's the real task right here, right now. And, you know, this fight, that particular incident probably happened back in February, right?
Yeah. Towards the end of last year, early this year. Yeah.
We're in October. We're in one of the biggest fights of our lives. Here's what we need to do in Sedgwick County and be honest and be real with it, right? This congressional campaign that they got, oh my God, this guy would never, ever, 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 ever beat Ron Estes.
No. Oh, Esau. Okay. Freeman? No, never.
Let's be honest. Celeste will never beat Stephanie Wise.
Let's hope not.
This just won't happen, right? This is not going to happen. When it comes down to it, right, if we want a champion and somebody who really can make a difference in a district and flip a seat and fire Mary Ware, I'm your guy. And we need your help.
We do. Hold on. I'm going to take a quick break. If you want to stick around through the break?
Oh, of course.
Okay. We'll stick around through the break, and we'll come back, ask you some policy positions, some principal positions. We're talking with Keenan Smith, candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. to sign up today. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1. Divide the nation philosophically. 2. Foment racial strife. 3. Cause distrust of police authority. 4. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5. Engender the military strength to weaken it. 6. Overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8. Control all balloting. 9. Control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish.
With us still is Keenan Smith. He's a candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. Keenan, the House and Senate let's talk about some policy issues over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. They've done taxes. I think there are a lot of us who are frustrated that we didn't get more tax relief. Had we been able to pass the original plan, right, I think we would have had considerable tax relief.
Right.
And your opponent, I guarantee Mary, voted against the real tax package. What we ended up getting was a watered down version.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the tax bills that had been suggested and what they ended up passing?
Some of the tax bills are completely packed with a lot of incentives, right? We need to be able to understand in the Kansas State Senate, right, that we need to be divisive just like the Democrats are and not take the direct approach to it. We need to stack our bills, set our initiatives, and hit key goals, right? you know, the Senate president, he's had a great leadership. He has a great run, him and Dan Hawkins in the House. We look at things. We need to be more transformative, right? You know, people are saying break the supermajority right now. They're saying break the supermajority because they actually did a good job, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love the tax packages, but we need to like really gain some momentum and get key votes.
Yeah, well, in particular, I think people would love to see property tax relief, which
of course
there was hardly anything in there in this last, and that's really what Laura Kelly ended up cutting was the property tax relief because, you know, that she wouldn't come, well, for the quote unquote middle of the road, she wouldn't come all. What do you think? You brought up incentives. What do you think about the Apex deal, the, you know, that gave the, what, $800 million to the Panasonic plant up in Johnson County, or the Chiefs Royals incentive package that they passed?
We should have been economically going after the Chiefs. We should have aggressively gave them whatever they needed to bring this thing all the way back to Kansas. Their name is the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Well, I know there are Chiefs fans listening to this show that'll like that.
And I'm a Chiefs fan as well. Here's the thing. I wanted my team home, right? And we got them home, right? Here's the thing. The Panasonic deal was a plight, right? It's going to be a plight. People say all the time that, hey, listen, we need a better workforce here in Kansas. But what is the governor doing? She's selling off every bit of our dollar, right? To bring people here that we don't to make products, right? That we don't even use every day. As Kansans, let's think about this. If we are economically going to improve our workforce and we're going to be able to bring companies in, you know, to make a difference here in our state.
Right.
We need to do a better job than what the governor's doing.
We're talking with Keenan Smith, candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. Another issue that the House at one point passed, the Senate really hasn't taken this up on the floor. They've had some hearings, is marijuana legalization. What are your thoughts on either medical or recreational marijuana legalization?
I don't agree with legalizing it. What I will say is there are over 18,000 people throughout the state of Kansas right now. There are some of us actually sitting in our correctional facilities. The governor actually went to El Dorado and actually put like, I think it was $150 million into a new facility just so she could be able to house a large percentage of that number. When a bill actually last year actually went in front of the Senate committee, it said there was 75 people only had simple marijuana possession cases, right? Here's the thing, guys, and I tell every Republican across the state of Kansas these things, right? When we look at these culture-built bills, right, we look at these bills that people are not really hearing and they really don't understand or who these things are really affecting, right? Right now, we're living in an emotional time. We do not need to give Laura Kelly more bullets. We need to go ahead and take the value right out of the marijuana market from the get-go and make sure that we're serving Kansans and doing the right thing. We need to decriminalize marijuana and start our own initiative to make sure that, you know, the governor doesn't have a bullet when it comes to making a new industry here.
When you talk about giving her bullets one way or the other, right now, one of the major issues the Democrats are running on nationwide and here in Kansas is abortion. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make that. I don't think it's as big an issue to voters as I think the Democrats want it to be. What's your position on life?
Here's the thing. I've always stood for life. You know, you can see me advocating 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years ago, just making sure that I was hard at it. You know, we had a soft decision to be able to make when it came down to life. We actually had a miscarriage, right? Me and my second kid's mom, we had a miscarriage, right? And she was like, Keenan, I can't carry the full term. This is very personal to me, by the way, but I would really want people to understand what I mean by this. I stood by her the entire time. And I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to do this. I don't think abortion is a choice. I don't think that we should be able to do these things. And I don't think we really want to do these things. Let's not make an emotional decision. Let's handle this. Be accountable for who we are. And if we're going to create a family, right, let's do it. Unfortunately, we had a miscarriage. You know, we had to go through those choices. You know, we had to go through some of those traumas and make things happen. But ever since then, I've always been a pro-life guy. I've stood out on Kellogg Media Days with Joseph and had the signs. I've actually went into the facility, right, when people didn't know who I was, just to be able to get my own insight on these situations. I really wanted to see what these monsters are capable of. I've done my homework when it comes to these people and the history of what's going on Kellogg. I look at it, and one thing about it is you can count on me as a legislator to never let a piece of legislation hit my desk that really even supports it.
What, as I mentioned when we talked about Mary Ware, she's been on the record. She's pretty much a strong advocate.
Yeah,
She's a strong advocate pro-abortion. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is.
She is also a strong advocate for gun control.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed you've been endorsed by KSRA and NRA. What are your thoughts on the Second Amendment?
The second, I'm a 2A crazy person. You can say if a Democrat, let me give them a great sound bite for this, right? When it comes down to protecting the people that I love in District 25, we live in one of the most violent districts in it throughout Kansas. It has the highest number for violence, death, and murders, right? And also homelessness. Here's the truth, right? It's not about having the right to carry a weapon. Right? It's about who are we protecting with these weapons. My sons are in my home. My daughter is in my home. It's not about can I carry the weapon anymore, right? Let's turn the barrel to people who actually say we can't do this. This is our time to be able to make sure that people understand exactly what 2A is all about.
Well, and the other thing I try and point out to folks is putting like Mary Ware's idea to gun control laws. It's only affecting lawful gun owners. The criminals aren't going to say, oh, Mary passed a bill. I have to turn my guns in now. You know, the criminals don't listen. If they were criminals, they would be abiding by the law in the first place.
Exactly.
So passing a law isn't going to fix that problem.
No, it isn't. You know, back to public safety when we actually come down to it.
Good point.
When you actually go down to public safety and actually support law enforcement and the officers that are standing right there in front of you, Some of the people don't understand is a part of the law enforcement board budget on the state level is also given to technology. I've actually sat with the sheriff, the police chief, and we've actually had a conversation about what is going on Broadway in my district, right? And how technology can be implemented to save officers' lives. Here's where we have to go. If people don't remember anything else about this election, let's save our officers. Let's say of our law enforcement. Let's make sure that these guys are equipped with the technology, right, throughout our state, at least, to be able to make sure that they can survive the night.
Yeah, and I think defund the police, Mary Ware, is probably not going to share that position. Keenan, thank you again for joining us tonight. If folks want more information on your campaign, if they want to volunteer, or more importantly, if they want to donate, they can visit KeenanForKansas.com. That's KeenanForKansas.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, brother. Best of luck. We wish you all the best. We need to flip that seat, my friend.
Let's do it.
Coming up, we'll be back in just a few minutes when we return. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears will be with us. You're listening to John Whitmer's show. We'll be back right after this.